Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled The Christian First Aid Kit was recorded at our 2010 Fort Worth Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
You don't have to learn everything through hard knocks. You know, if you want a good financial advisor, I'd go to one that hasn't been bankrupt 100 times, amen. I'd go to the successful one instead of the one that's been through everything. There's no doubt that if you've failed and if you've had problems, God can use that and turn it into a testimony. But I'm just saying that there's people that love to say, you just don't know what I'm going through. And yet the Bible makes it very clear that there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. 1 Corinthians 10:13. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Anytime you go to thinking that your situation is unique and nobody can understand you, Satan has already defeated you. You're already in unbelief. You're already in crossways to the Word of God and you've set yourself up for failure. I'm trying to say all of this to let you recognize that what we're going to talk about tonight is something that applies to you. And if you haven't ever been through a crisis, hold on. You will. Amen. I believe most of us have been through a crisis, but if you haven't, you will. We live in a fallen world. Satan is going to fight you, and you're going to need to know what to do in a crisis situation. And Jesus, this was his last opportunity to talk to his disciples before his crucifixion. It was his last opportunity. Just by virtue of that fact alone, I believe it shows that Jesus, he used his last moments with his disciples to give them something very important. In John 14, 15, and 16, he spoke words to his disciples trying to prepare them. I'm going to start in John 14, 1, but look at 16, 1 first. And in the middle of this discourse, he says, "These things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended." In Mark chapter 4, the scripture teaches about the sower sowing the word, and it says that the devil comes with afflictions and persecutions. The disciples were about to go through some afflictions. They were about to go through some hardship, and it says that the devil does that, and then people get offended, and the word doesn't work. You lose the power that's in the word because of an offense. And Jesus said, "I have spoken these things," the things listed in John 14, 15, and 16, "to keep people from being offended," or you could say, so that the word would still work. I really believe that if the disciples would have followed the instructions of Jesus right here, they didn't. But had they followed these instructions, the disciples did not have to be in fear and in grief and mourning during this time in between the crucifixion and the resurrection. There are 14 separate times Jesus prophesied his death. There was about 8 or 9 that he prophesied his resurrection and made it clear that it would be on the third day. He gave them all the information that they needed. And did you know that the chief priest remembered it? The unbelievers remembered it. They went to Pilate and they said, "This deceiver said that on the third day he'll rise again and would give us some soldiers to guard the tomb." The unbelievers remembered the prophecies, but his own people forgot it. And they were just sitting there huddled in fear and grieving over all of the things. And yet Jesus told them these things and he says, "I'm saying this so you won't be offended." Brothers and sisters, you do not have to fall apart like a $2 suitcase when crisis comes. The Lord gives us everything that we need to be able to prosper. And you know, I get flack for saying this. I don't understand that. To me, I'm trying to encourage you that God's got victory for you and he wants you to do something good and be blessed. And yet I have people mad at me all of the time because saying you aren't empathizing and sympathizing with those that are hurting. I have compassion for you. I have enough compassion to say, get over it. Amen. And get on with it and draw on the power of God. But people want you to get down in the mud with them and get stuck and get dirty and get hurt and bitter with them. I was telling a man last night, he was crying. He saw somebody was hurt. And I said, you know what? You need to have compassion. But if you empathize and if you get into the same hurt and the same pain that that person feels, then you are useless. You got to have compassion for people, but you can't get there and feel the same hurt and the pain, or you'll get the same results that they've got. Man, that's powerful truth right there. And so Jesus told his disciples these things so that they would not be offended, so that they could have walked in victory. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you can't keep a problem from coming. We live in a fallen world. If you never bump into the devil, it's because you're both headed the same direction. If you start going upstream, you're going to encounter some resistance. An old dead fish could float downstream, and that's what a lot of people are doing. They're just letting life run them. But if you start doing something, Satan is going to fight you. You're going to have problems. You cannot keep a problem from coming, but you can keep that problem from getting on the inside of you. You can't keep a storm from coming, but you can keep the storm from getting on the inside of you. Pastor Bob Nichols and his church went through a tornado that destroyed their old building in 40-something seconds, gone. I don't believe there's any criticism of them because it came, but you know what? They didn't let that storm get on the inside of them. Man, I saw him on the internet 2 hours after the tornado destroyed everything, and he says, "We're going to be twice as good as before." Amen. And they are twice as good as before, if not more. They went through a storm, but they went through it. You are going to have some problems. But man, Jesus said some things right here that are awesome. And if you will take this, it will enable you to go through anything and come out without the smell of smoke on you. Amen. The Hebrew children weren't wrong for being thrown in the furnace, but they believed God and they came out without any smell of smoke on them. We've got so many Christians that are limping through life. And I have compassion for you. I'm not mad at you. But I'm saying God doesn't want you to spend the rest of your life limping and burdened and hurt. Man, there is victory. There is complete restoration in Jesus. You do not have to spend the rest of your life grieving over something that has happened. I remember when Calvary went to Will Rogers, the very first Sunday. They went there and the newspaper showed up because they wanted to see this church. It was just devastating. And the reporter says it was like they won the lottery. Man, they were shouting and praising God and everybody was so happy that it was like, what's wrong with these people? They're delusional. But you know what? They knew these truths. And because of it, they came through twice as good or more than they were before. All of this facility, their Christian facility over there, is all paid for. It's a miracle. Amen. They're blessed. And they take the very thing that the devil meant to destroy them and work it together for good and use it to glorify God. You can do that. I don't care if you've been through a divorce, if you've been through terrible things, if your life has had tragedy. God can turn it around and work it for good, but you've got a part to play in it. And look at what Jesus said, talking to his disciples in the midst of this crisis situation. The very first thing he says is, let not your heart be troubled. Did you know that most people think, now that is unreasonable. You can't tell people that. As long as it's a hangnail, yes, you're supposed to praise God, even if your little finger hurts. As long as it's something minor, yeah, praise God because, you know, God's bigger than a hangnail. But let it be something big and you'll have Christians come up and say, you're in denial. You aren't facing facts. And they'll sit there and you aren't working through the grieving process. And I tell you, there's a lot of psychology that has gotten into the church. There's very little of the church that's gotten into psychology, but a lot of psychology has gotten into the church. And there are people that are embracing their hurt and pain. Now, I'm not saying that you deny it. I'm not saying that you put your head in the sand and act like nothing's happened. I'm not talking about denial, but I am talking about denying hurt and pain to dominate you. Jesus told his disciples in the midst of this crisis situation that was worse than any of our crisis situation, don't let your heart be troubled. And if you were to diagram this sentence the way that we learned to do in school, where you have to have a subject and then a verb and an object in all this, you would be the understood subject of this sentence. In other words, you don't let your heart be troubled. And yet the average person today would say, but I can't help it. This person did this. You don't understand. The doctor said this. You don't understand. I lost my home. I lost my job. And we have things that we use as excuses to say that I can't help it. I'm only human. You aren't only human. One third of you is wall to wall Holy Ghost. One third of you has the power of God on the inside, and you do not have to respond like a mere human being. Am I denying the fact that I'm human and that I've got emotions? No, but I am denying that that's all that there is to me. There's a part of me that is able to handle anything, that I can overcome in every single situation. Jesus would be unjust to tell them, facing, you know, here they were. They were going to see Jesus crucified. And he's saying, don't be troubled. Most people think, well, that's wrong. You should be troubled. Most people think something would be wrong with you if your heart just wasn't totally broken. Jesus said, don't be troubled. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church. Most people think that it is right when something tragic happens to just be devastated. And they embrace this devastation and they run its course until they're just about to be destroyed. And finally they realize, I've got to get help. And then they turn to the Lord and ask God to help them. But Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. I personally believe your immediate reaction when a crisis happens really dictates whether or not you're going to overcome. Most people let their emotions and their hurt and their pain just run its course and wait until it is this huge stronghold in their life. And then they start turning to God and ask God to overcome it.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach through his brand new series titled The Christian First Aid Kit. This six-part series was recorded at our 2010 Fort Worth Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1070C for CD or R3213D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RSK17C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to invite you to come to one of our Gospel Truth seminars. You know, there's people that listen to me on the radio or television every day, and they think, well, I already know what you're going to say. What's the point in going to one of these meetings? But for one thing, you just get the Word at a different level when it's not broken into little 15-minute segments. It makes a huge difference in the way that the Word impacts you. Plus, we have anywhere from 30 to 40 or 50 of our Bible college students, prayer ministers there, that minister to people. You get prayer and personal ministry, and it is just a dynamic atmosphere. Charlie and Jill LeBlanc do the praise and worship, and you'd be blessed. So make plans to join me at one of our Gospel Truth seminars.